The sheets that you have in front of you, beginning with page Lamed Chet, really the second page Lamed Chet. What you have at the top over there is the second half of the first pasuk. I really want to go through the Rashi today, because the Rashi is going to give us the Midrashic and the Talmudic explanation of these psukim. We have to move with speed. I'll read the beginning of the first pasuk. Vayomer Hashem Eloi, Hashem said to me, Kach lecha gilayon echad, take a gilayon gadol. Take a tablet, a big tablet, uchtov alav, and write on it Becheret Enosh. That's where your page begins. Becheret Enosh, with a stylus that can be read clearly, Lemaher Shalol Chosh Buzz. So Rashi says, take a look at the first line in Rashi, Lemaher Shalal, that the spoil is going to come quickly, Levo Samchedev, Vilishlola Kolhon Aseret Hashvatim. Now you see what Rashi is doing here. Lemaher Shalal and Chosh Buzz. Now, Chosh Buzz is really Maher Shalal, but in other words, Lemaher, to hasten the spoil, Chosh, quicken, bring quickly, Buzz, the looting. So since there are two, so he says that one of them refers to Sancherev, and the other refers to Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, we're talking about a period of 150 years. We're talking about the time of Chizkiyahu and the time of Pekah ben Remaliyahu, the time of the last king of the 10 tribes, Hoshea ben Elov, that the enemy is going to be Sancherev. But there's going to be another enemy. And that other enemy is going to come about 150 years down the line, maybe less, about 100 years down the line. And that's going to be Nebuchadnezzar, who's going to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. So what emerges immediately is something that we've been saying time and time again. When if Yeshayahu's prophecy would have only been about Sancherev, it would never have been written. I'm going to take you one step further. If his prophecy was only about Sancherev and Nebuchadnezzar, who's 100 or 150 years later, it still would not have been written. Only nevuah shenitzrecha ledorot, only prophecy that is necessary for all generations is written, which means that there may have been many, many other generations in which this prophecy would have fit. It's not simply, the Navi is not simply talking about a historical event that happened and was and is over. Not so. It obviously has meaning for history. L'maher shalal, Rashi. L'vol Sancherev l'shlol l'kol hon aseret ha-shvatim. That Sancherev is going to come and he's going to loot all of the wealth of the 10 tribes. U'l'hachish l'vuz nevechametzer achrav et tzidkiyahu v'doro. And that afterwards, much later, Sancherev is going to come and take the spoils of Tzidkiyahu and his generation. Tzidkiyahu is the last king of Yehuda. In Maher Shalal Chosh Buzz, we hear of the end of the kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes. That's Maher Shalal. And Chosh Buzz is the end of Yehuda, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash by Nebuchadnezzar. Pasuk Bet, and I used as witnesses that are ne'emanim, that are trustworthy, et Uriah HaKohen ve'et Zechariyahu ben Yevedechyahu. Says Rashi, gam ba'utan ha'yivo'id oli, gam ba'utan ha'yamin b'yimei Yehoyakim al oto pur'anut. Also in those days, in the days of Yehoyakim, Yehoyakim is king before Tzidkiyahu. That means Yehoyakim is going to be about 100 or 90 or 100 years down the line. Yehoyakim is the brother of Tzidkiyahu. Yehoyakim is taken off into exile by Nebuchadnezzar. So he says, I will have witnesses who will testify in the days of Yehoyakim al oto pur anut, about this punishment. Shnei Eidim Nemanim, two trustworthy witnesses. Ha'echad levasram ra'ar, one witness comes to tell them the evil that will befall them. Ha'levasram ra'ar ha'atidah lavo alehem. By the way, we will see over here that Rashi is taking that Gemara at the end of Masechet Makot that we used, and this is how he is indeed explaining the pasuk. One of them is going to tell them about the evil that is going to come upon them, and who's that? That's Uriah HaKohen. Shehargo Yehoyakim, Yehoyakim had him killed. Shenem Evagam Ish Hayom Itnabe B'Shem Hashem. Uriah ben Shemaya. Mikiryat HaYarim, he came from Kiryat Yarim. You know where that is? That's before it was Telstone. Uriah HaKohen came from Kiryat Yarim, and in Yirmiyahu the story is told that they tell there the story that there was a prophet by the name of Uriah, by Yitnabe al Hayir Azot, and he prophesied about this city, Bala Makom Azed, called Divrei Yirmiyahu, and about this place, all the words of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu was saying that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. And there is a scene in the Bet HaMikdash, in the courtyard of the Bet HaMikdash, there are those who want to kill Yirmiyahu for what he said. And some of the elders stand up for Yirmiyahu and say, wait a minute, what Yirmiyahu is saying is not something new. There was another prophet by the name of Uriah who said this. And Uriah had been put to death by Yehoyakim. Ultimately, they save Yirmiyahu. Ved Zechariyahu ben Yevarech Yahu, Bishnat Bet L'Dar Yavesh, as the Gemara said, Zechariyahu ben Yevarech Yahu is the Navi Zechariah who follows the destruction of the second Bet HaMikdash. He is one of the prophets who is there at the return at Shivat Zion in the second year of Darius the Great, Bishnat Bet L'Dar Yavesh. And what did he say? Quote, O Yeshu Zekenim Uzekenot Berchovot Yerushalayim.
Did I
say the second?
Yeah.
Did I say the second?
No.
That was a mistake. I said the second, I mean the first. Oh, alright, whatever it is, if I said the second, I mean the first. Shivatzion, good, okay. Uriah, and this is what Rabbi Akiva said, we learned the Gemara. Uriah Simon Lezachariah. Uriah, the terrible prophecy of Uriah, is a sign, an indication, that what Zechariah said is going to be fulfilled. In Tirusha Tidkayem, Nivuat Uriah. If you see that the prophecy of Uriah is fulfilled, the terrible tragedy of Yerushalayim, Tihiyu Mitzapin, then you should look forward. Shetidkayem Nivuat Zechariah. You should look forward that the prophecy of Zechariah will be fulfilled. Kishem Shahaidoti Bishel Sancherev. This seems to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking. Just as I had testified Bishel Sancherev, who testified about Sancherev, king of Ashur? Amos, the Yeshayahu. Amos spoke about Pur Anotan Shel Aseret HaShvatim. Amos was a Navi who spoke to the 10 tribes at the same time that Yeshayahu was speaking to Yehuda. Amos is the one that says that the 10 tribes are going to fall and be taken off into exile by Sancherev, king of Ashur. Yeshayahu tells them that ultimately Yehuda is going to be taken off into exile. What does Amos say? The Yisrael golo yigleh. Yisrael will go into exile. The Yeshayahu lahavtachato shel Chizkiyahu kisheyimloch. Yeshayahu is, you know, there's one who says punishment and the other who says the good that will come. So at the same time that Amos is telling them that the 10 tribes are going to go into exile, Yeshayahu is the one that says that there's going to be a great victory in the days of Chizkiyahu. Who's going to take the 10 tribes into exile? Sancherev. Who is the one that's going to fall at the gates of Yerushalayim? Sancherev. And there are going to be a number of prakim that are going to keep making reference to Sancherev, who's, you know, the angel of death, Bechatzi Halayla. The angel of death comes down and destroys the camp of Sancherev. Pasuk Gimel ve'ekrav al ha'neviyah. I drew close to the neviyah. Vatar, she became pregnant and she gave birth to a son. Vatele ben vayomer Hashem elai. Hashem said to me, Kroshimo, call him Maher Shalol. chosh buzz. Rashi says a number of interesting things here. I'm using the Rashi in this chapter as a mixture of all sorts of very fascinating things you'll see. But Pelet Ben, who have been at Moshe Kura'ah Hanevi'ah Immanuel, Al Shem Shahayah Kodesh Baruch Hu Be'eze Shel Chizkiyo Kishayim Loch. Rashi takes the position that Maher Shalal Chash Baz is the same one who was called Immanuel. It's not a second son, Maher Shalal Chash Baz. It's the same one who was Immanuel. Now, of course, what's interesting about this is, of course, then we don't have to feel bad for a kid who's called Maher Shalal Chash Baz. That might have been his nickname, but his real name is Immanuel. But what Rashi is also saying is that the child represents the two sides of the coin. Sanchedev destroying the 10 tribes and Sanchedev being destroyed at the gates of Yerushalayim. For the 10 tribes, he is Maher Shalal Chash Baz. But for Yehuda, he is Immanuel. So Rashi says, Hu haben atzmo. That is the same son, Shekira'ah HaNevi'ah Immanuel, that the prophet, the wife of the prophet called Immanuel. Al Shem Shohaya Kodesh Baruch Hu Ve'eze Shel Chizkiyo Kishayimloch. Immanuel represents the fact that HaKodesh Baruch Hu is going to help Chizkiyo when he's going to become king. V'yev Shalom Ben Shenihu. Can't say that this is a second son, different than Immanuel. Shahadei Shaninu, because we learned Bishnat Dalud LaOchaz Nemra Nevuazu. This prophecy was said in the fourth year of Ochaz. Ubishnat Dalud LaOchaz Nehedak Pekach. Pekach ben Remayo, king of Israel, was killed in the fourth year of Ochaz. V'yevsha Shnei Banim Lihivaleid Bishanachad. Can't give birth to two boys in 1 year, just about. At the same time, they're just about at the same time. There was no 9 months between the two. Now we're not talking about twins. Yeshayahu aviv karoshimo. Yeshayahu, his father, called him Maher Shalal al Shem Puranu Tatidal Lavo al Ritzinu Ben Ramayahu. Yeshayahu called him Maher Shalal. To signify the punishment that's going to come upon Ritzin, king of Aram, and Remayahu, Ben Remayahu, Pekah Ben Remayahu, king of Israel, Shahu Yubayin, Lito Meluchah Mibayz David, they're the ones who had come to bring down Malchus Beis David. The Tushbat Malchuto Shel Chizkiyo, they want to destroy Malchuto Shel Chizkiyo. In this last comment that Rashi makes, he's really saying, he's taking us one giant step further. That the two names that the child has, Maher Shalal Chash Baz, one name that his father gives him, and the name Immanuel, really both add up to the same thing. Because who is the one that's going to be looted and be spoiled? Ritzin and Pekach, who want to bring down Malchus Beis David. And why is he called Immanuel? Because God is going to be with Malchus Beis David, and he is going to stand behind Chizkiyo. So in a sense, ultimately the two names add up to be the same thing. The protection of Malchus Beis David, and the strengthening of Malchus Beis David. The protection because the enemies are vanquished, they fall, and then Chizkiyo rises. We're going in order, yes? Yes.
Both of the world were negative.
Zechariah's was not negative. If you tell me, oh, Yeshu, Zekeinim, Uzekeinot, Berechovot, Yerushalayim, that was Zechariah. Ben Yevedechiahu. That was his prophecy. His prophecy is a positive one. Uriah's is the negative one. Maher Shalal Chashba, no. It is. This is, the Rashi is based on the Gemara of Rabbi Akiva. Oh, that's what I'm, I said it first. Rashi is because
the moment a prophecy is fulfilled. No, even if it's not a negative one. If a prophecy comes true precisely as it was said, do you know what that means? Prophecy is true. And if one prophecy is true, second will as well be true. It goes olim madriga, you go up a little higher, that midot tova shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal say, it's a mission at the end. By the way, it's a mission at the end of Masechet Markatavot in Les Mishnah. Midot tova shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 500 times greater than midot ra. God's goodness is 500 times greater than the suffering that he brings. And they learn it because the pasuk in the Aseret HaDibrot says that he's Charon Apo is, I don't know the pasuk, but Charon Apo is for Lebanim Shileshim Vidibayim, four generations. And God's goodness, no, say Chesed La Alafim, that's 2,000. What's 4 into 2,000 is 500. So Midat Tova is greater than Midat Puroniyot by 500 times. So therefore, if the Midat Ra, if the bad prophecy, is so precisely fulfilled, then we know that the good one must be fulfilled 500 times more. Klal Godlo. Gadol and Torah. Midat Tova is always 500 times greater than Midat Prani. Of course. Zora, that's why Chachma Yisrael said to Rabbi Akiva, Nichamtanu Akiva, Nichamtanu, you have consoled us. That's it. That's why I learned that Gemara. You think I stam learn Gemaras with you? You think I stam give out sheets to you just to... you should go home with something from school. I give out a sheet because that's a preparation for what we're going to be learning. You see how came it so handy? Yes.
Just to change the subject, I'll be back to yesterday's shiur. Did you notice that the name Emmanuel was given by the mother?
In the parak before.
Yeah. In parak Zion.
It's not clear.
Is it karat?
No, the karat over there means lachem yiten Hashem hu lachem od hinei ha'al mahorav yolad ben v'karat, you, v'karat. That's why I was afraid to say that. Even though from Rashi, it would have seemed that Rashi was going in that direction now, that he called the boy Maher Shalol Chashbaz. That's why I didn't go that...
It struck me when we read it originally.
But wait a minute, you know?
Gave the name.
I take it back.
Yeah,
I take it back. Rashi on the spot, on the Karot Shmo. You don't have this Rashi. I'll read the Rashi to you. This is on the pasuk in the chapter before that says, the girl is going to give birth. We talked about that pasuk, but the only thing that we talked about in that pasuk was its Christological interpretations. Hine ha'al ma'horo, that the virgin is going to become pregnant, which we said is nonsense. It's not true. But the pasuk says that the girl, the young girl, is going to become pregnant. Violeta Benish is going to give birth to a son. The karot shemo Emmanuel. Right? Rashi says, Ruach HaKodesh Tishre Oleha. You're right. Ruach HaKodesh is going to descend upon her, and she is going to call him Emmanuel.
And the father calls him.
And the father calls him Maher Shalol Chashbaz. Rashi seemed to be going in that direction in our Rashi here, but he never ended the sentence. Mastali, the reason why he didn't end the sentence, because he assumed that we learned the Rashi in the chapter before, and we hadn't forgotten it yet. And maybe there's one other thing involved over here. If you're talking about, I thought you really meant yesterday's shir. What did I say in yesterday? Huh? Oh, then I'm going to take you one step further. One of the things that I did not elaborate upon at the end of the shir is Chulda HaNeviyah. Chulda HaNeviyah, saying prophecy of the time of Yirmiyahu. There's a Yirmiyahu and there's a Chulda. It's the days of Yoshiyahu the king. And in days of Yoshiyahu, they find, as they are renovating the Bet HaMikdash, they find a Sefer Torah. HaSefer HaTorah, the Sefer Torah. Chazal tell us, what Sefer Torah is it? The Sefer Torah that they find is a Sefer Torah that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Can you imagine if we, huh? Because it's called HaSefer HaTorah. And it says that on the last day of his life, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, like Lahavdil in Greenwich, where do they have the meter and the inch and the inch and the foot are in Washington someplace, and the meter is there's one in Ottawa and there's one. In other words, you have to have a standard. How do you know what's an inch? How do you know what's a meter? How do you know what's a centimeter? Some place in the world, there are a few places in the world where there is a classic knei mida, a measuring stick. So in the future, every measure has to measure up to that measure. Did I sufficiently confuse you? Good. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a Sefer Torah so that should there ever be a question later on in history about a word, you have the original there. In the days of Yoshiyahu, they find the original. Because the Bet HaMikdash during the time of Menashe, there were terrible things happening over there. It was a mess for many years. And finally, they find this, and it happens to be open in Sefer Devarim. It's open to the Tochacha, where it says that God is going to cause that you and your king will be taken off into exile. Yoshiyahu, who was a tzaddik, is shaken by this. You know, take a look what we find, and look where it's open to. So he wants to find out what's the meaning of this. So it says that he sent a number of his officers to Chulda HaNeviyah, and Chulda HaNeviyah says, yes, this is a siman min hashamayim that there's going to be a korban, but it's not going to be in your days. Because God has seen your piety and your goodness, and therefore it will be delayed for a number of generations. You will not suffer. Why did he send to Chulda when Yirmiyahu is in Yerushalayim? Because Hanoshim Rachman Yodein. That's exactly where I'm going to. So that Maher Shalom Chashbaz is the name that's given by Yeshayahu, and the name Emmanuel is the name that's given by his wife. And Rashi in the chapter 4 goes on to say that we must say that Ruach HaKadosh comes down upon her because she was a young girl, and we have no record that she had ever prophesied. That young girl, and now in this, you know, here she's called Neviyah, but she still had not really been a Neviyah. Ruach HaKodesh comes down upon her, and she gives that child the name. So yes, you're right. She calls him Emmanuel, and he calls him Maher Shalom Chashbaz. Very good. Okay, let's go further. Kibetetim Pasuk Dalet. Kibetetim Yedah Amar Kero Aviv Imi. Before the boy knows to call Abba and Ima, Yisod Chelda Mesav Gatshal Shom Ronos Neimelach Ashur. The wealth of Damascus and the spoil of Shomron will be carried away before the king of Ashur. Ashur, as we said, is the new power that's emerging, and he's going to bring down both Aram and Yisrael. Let's see if we're learning the Rashi. Let's learn Rashi. Rashi is amazing. Even though you have to see Rashi in Tanakh is different than Rashi in Chumash. But all right, we'll save that. Yet, let's say like it like this. Just Rashi
in Tanakh is heavier on the side of Drash than he is on the side of Pshat. In Chumash, Rashi is always saying, he keeps saying, Ani lo bati elo lefaresh pshuto shel mikra. I've only come to explain pshuto shel mikra. Even though in Chumash also he uses Medrash, and therefore whenever he uses Medrash, it means that there must be something in the Pasuk that is indicative of the fact that you have to read it through the eyes of Medrash. In Navi, there is not so much pshuto shel mikra. All of it, or most of it, is Medrash. In other words, it has to be understood through the light of Chazal. There's no way to know really what a pasuk in Tanakh means without Chazal. You can't go ahead and make up your own meaning to the pasuk. You must perforce depend on the words of Chazal in order to understand what's happening here. So anyway, Rashi, Yisot Chel Damesek, as it says, Vaya'al Damesek Vayit Pesach, he went up to Damesek. Sancheriv, king of Ashur, went up to Damesek and he captured the city. Vetshlal Shomron La'acha Shemere Pekach, after Pekach ben Remayo was killed, we learned that there was an assassination of Pekach, Umolach Hoshea. And Hoshea, who is the last of the kings of Israel, rises. Next page, Olav Shalmaneser Melech Ashur. Shalmaneser, king of Ashur, comes up against Hoshea. Vayilo Hoshea Eved. Hoshea was a servant unto him. V'natanlo Minchov Ashochet. He gave gifts and he paid protection money to Ashur. Hushalal Shomron. That is the spoil of Shomron. Kol Eila, all of this was Bishnat Dalad L'Ochoz, the fourth year of Ochoz. And remember, all of what we're saying over here is taking place in the fourth year of Ochoz. Pasuk Hei, Vayosef Hashem Daber Eli Od Le'morim, God continued and added, speaking to me, so saying. And here, of course, we're going to have the Pesukim to talk about the fact that there are those who are upset with the house of David. I mean, there are sometimes moments in history where Jews are unhappy with their leadership. I can't imagine too many times that this ever happened. You know, they're just unhappy. You know, nim astem. Anyway, this happens to be one of those periods. Yan ki ma'as ha'am hazeh, because these people have rejected et mei ha-shiloach ha-olchim la'av, the waters of the shiloach that go slowly. Umasos, and their joy is Ritzin u ben Ramayo. They want Ritzin and ben Ramayo. Next pasuk, Zayin v'lochein hine Hashem ma'ale aleim et mei hanor. God is going to bring against those who are opposed to Malchus Beis David and want to bring down the house of David. He's going to bring upon them at mei hanor, the waters of the river, ha'atzumim v'harabim, the mighty and the many. And who's the river? The river is at Melech Ashur, the king of Ashur, at Kol Kavodo, and all of his glory is honor for all our Kol Afikav, and he's going to go over all of his the Gedotav. The next part of the pasuk is going to be the banks Afikav, the wadis that rise, our Kol Afikav, the Halach al Kol Gedotav, and one more pasuk, and this great tidal wave. The tidal wave, which is Ashur, v'cholaf b'Yehuda, he's going to go pass through Yehuda, shotaf, washing away v'ovar, and passing through atzavor yagia. The waters are going to reach the neck. V'hoyam mutot knafav, melo rochav arts ha'Emmanuel. The ends of his wings are going to be spread out across the entire width of your land, Emmanuel. Let's see Rashi. And here you're also going to see that something that I learned with you a few weeks ago was preparation, you know. Gave you out another shtickel paper over there with a different Gemara on it, and its purpose was to prepare you. Since you have rejected at Meha Shiloach HaHolchim La'at, the waters of the Shiloach that go slowly, B'malchuta de'Beit David, D'madbar lahen b'nayach, K'mo shelucha d'nagdin b'nayach. When you have Aramaic words in Rashi, you know that he is quoting Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. And the words mean
since you have rejected Malchut HaDepei David, the kingdom of the house of David, the Mad Bar Lahon, who leads you, B'nayach, you know, easy, Kimei Shilocha, like the waters of the Shiloh, the Nagdin, that roll down B'nayach, slowly. Shiloach, Rashi says, Ma'ayanhu, it is a spring, Ushmo Gichon. It's called Gichon and Shiloach. Sherotzu, what does it mean they rejected? Sherotzu lahasir et malchus beis David b'mei ochaz lepekak ben Remayo. They wanted to remove the kingdom of the house of David in the days of Ochaz and give it over to Pekach ben Remayo, who was king of Israel. V'kan niba. Here, Yeshayahu is saying prophecy about Shevna v'siyato. You remember Shevna v'siyato? Shevna v'siyato, we learned the Gemara in Sanhedrin, he is the one who wants to make peace with Ashur and give Yerushalayim over to Ashur. Sherotu limro b'chizkiyo, they're the ones who wanted to rebel against Chizkiyo. Shemo asupo, they rejected him. Al sherou, because they saw Shalohoya boche b'shulchan melachim. Listen, this is a quote from the Gemara. They said the difference between Pekah ben Ramayo, king of Israel, and Chizkiyo pashit for breakfast or for lunch or for supper had some vegetables. You understand? Vegetables. Shalohoya boche b'shulchan melachim. He didn't choose to have a table like the table of kings. Ela ochel litra yedek, a litter of greens, the osik for Torah, and the rest of the time spent learning Torah. All of Nemar, and about him, the pasuk says in Mishlei, tzaddik ochel l'sofa nafsho. A tzaddik eats to satisfy his soul. Ah, v'roet Pekach ben Ramayo, on the other hand, they saw Pekach, son of Ramayo, ochel arboim so'og gozlos, b'kinuach se'uda. I imagine this is a shtickle exaggeration. 40 saw of gozlot are those little chickadlech, what do you call them? Don't you know? A squab?
Wow.
A squab. Yeah, gozlot is a pigeon. Yeah, not a Cornish hen. Yeah, the kind of things that they give you at the Ramada and they pack it full of stuff on the inside. And he was able to eat 40 saw of these. Go, I'm getting sick just thinking of it. And that was kinuach seudah. That was his dessert. Vayum lizen al chizkiyo. So they made fun of chizkiyo. Va'omrim, and they said, zeh hagun lihiyot melech. He's the one. He should be king. This is a king for you. I mean, you understand the celery and lettuce. Ein ze melech. That's not a king. You know who's a king? Ritzin ben Ramayo. Hoyu ru'uyin limloch b'chayei. He's the one who has the right to rule us. I imagine that what it's referring to is lifestyle. There was a dramatic difference. He didn't live like a king.
Isn't there a chok or mitzvah that our king's way, he should live like a king and behave like a king? Because otherwise people
lose
their respect for him.
Well, I don't know. I can't believe that a melech has to have a chreis, 40 saw Cornish hens for.
Cornish hen, but I think they don't refer only to the food.
No, what it means. You know what the halach is? That the king had to conduct himself with dignity. Melech b'yofyo, this is a pasuk later on in Yeshayahu, Melech b'yofyo, a king in all of his beauty, techezeno en nechem, your eyes should see the beauty of a king. A king had to take a haircut every day. Kohen Gadol had to take a haircut once a week. Then there are those of us, don't look at me, I need a haircut now. Okay, right? Huh? Not a king, and I'm not a Kohen Gadol. But a king always had to be perfectly groomed. In other words, there had to be a malchus. You had to see malchus. It doesn't mean that he has to sit at some kind of a Bachnalian kind of dinner. And You know what the difference is? The difference really is they were impressed with the outer trappings of Pekach ben Remaliahu and were not impressed with the inner beauty and greatness of Chizkio. And it was more than that. Because the inner greatness of Chizkio is something that placed great responsibilities upon them. A melech with all of his power and with all of his wealth, he had only one agenda for the Jewish people. And the agenda was Torah. We've mentioned in the past the Gemara that says that in the days of Chizkio, Bodku Midon Vad Be'er Sheva, they made a poll. They made a poll from Don until Be'er Sheva, and they didn't find man or woman, male child or female child, that were not bekiyim, didn't know the halachos of Tumah and Tahara. It was about Chizkio that the Gemara says, you know, like Zorro, he stuck his sword into the door of the Beis HaMedrash and he says, anyone who does not study Torah will be run through with the sword. He placed tremendous, if not all of his emphasis was on the spiritual development of the Jewish people. People don't like that. People don't like somebody who becomes their spiritual conscience. You know what you want to do with a spiritual conscience? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. By the way, my wife and I have decided that's exactly what the extreme left in this country is interested in. They want the removal of every shred of Yiddishkeit. And therefore, Yehuda, V'Shomron, and Chevel Azar, that's Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit, niet, out. Because it places great responsibility. You take a look at that fine, upstanding family, see the families of those who've been killed over the last few months. I mean, see families that are the Ot Ulamo fate by Am Yisrael. That places tremendous guilt. They didn't want what Chizkiyahu stands for. On the contrary, the eat, drink, and I don't know how he doesn't get eat, drink, be sick, and be merry, like Pekach ben Remaliahu is the one who impresses them. You know, I'm going to go one step further. I'm letting my imagination run wild with me. When what you really want is a life of this kind of motarot, what is it? Excesses. You don't want religion, but you can't say it outright. So you find a philosophy. The philosophy may very well be, listen, if we have to share Yerushalayim with Sancheriv, it's worth it. Do you know what the philosophy becomes? The great ideal becomes shalom. Shalom becomes the great goal, and therefore if that's the great goal, Sancheriv is surrounded. Let's make peace with Sancheriv. What will happen? Sancheriv will bring in the culture of Ashur into Yerushalayim? Great! They want Pekach ben Remaliahu's lifestyle. They don't want Yeshayahu's lifestyle. But they hide behind some kind of a philosophy, something that moves them. Yes? I have to say it a little louder, and my tape recorder explodes when it hears Yossi Palin's name mentioned.
And they really mean, yes, the shalom brings us to Allah.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what you
of
say.
Course.
All the places of reference that he thinks is so important.
Eat Trefus in Damascus. In Damascus, yes, what are you talking about?
This is where he wants to go.
I mean, they don't know already that that Palestinian restaurants are places never where people are killed.
Oh, you let Jesse Palin go to one of
them. I'll even give him a sip.
Yeah. Elo Ritzinya Vizel Umisos. You see, Chazal was so sensitive, a highly honed and sharp sensitivity to the use of a word, Because in the pasuk it says, and Rashi is really, you'll see that Rashi is saying this. They've rejected the Mei Hashilah HaHolchim La'at, which is Malchus Beis David, Umesos. And their sason is with Ritzin and Ben Ramayahu. That's not Mesos, is not really the word that one would use. Remember we once talked, was it last year, the difference between sason and simcha? Sason is always momentary, a momentary outburst of joy. You understand? Simcha is that which is acquired after long years of hard work. It's a sense of contentment. The fact that the Navi used the word misos to represent their wanting Ritzin and Ben Ramayo represents that there's something very sensuous about this gratification. That's the word. And you see what he says? Vezehu umisos. That's what Rashi says. He's great, Rashi. Umisos et Ritzin. Omer lechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now you're really ready for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Ochlim atem mit avim. You have a taiva for eating. And of course, taiva for eating always represents all other taivas. Ani mevi alechem ochlin harvei. I'm going to bring many eaters upon you, but you're going to be the one that they're going to eat. Hine Hashem mala aleichem et meha nor ha'atzumim. I'm going to bring the mighty waters of the river tachat meha shiloach chaloshim v'nochim that are weak and move slowly. No, what the Navi is describing over here are two completely different and contradictory lifestyles. So that their rejection of Malchus Beis David is a rejection of a spiritual life. Their joy, their glee with Ritzin and Ben Ramayahu is the desire for another lifestyle. But there's one extremely important idea that emerges from the way Rashi is learning the pasuk. What emerges is that this is an idea that can be transplanted nearly in any generation. It therefore all of a sudden becomes a nevuah that's not being said at one particular moment in time about one particular incident. All of a sudden it takes on eternity, time and time again. Chazal tell us, Lo avdu Yisrael avedu zorel kedei lahato lehen arayis b'fahesi. Jews worshipped idols in order to permit them illicit relationships in public. In other words, there was always the philosophical or ideological shita, but at the bottom of it all was really the desire to break free of the shackles of Yiddishkeit. If it was in the 19th century biblical criticism, what was the purpose of biblical criticism? Purpose was clear. If you can take Torah and turn it into a human document and not a divine document, and not only a human document, but what responsibility do I have to accept the words of some kind of a patchwork that was written possibly by shepherds 2,000 years ago in the Judean hills? So they will most probably tell you, but listen, we have studied the text so carefully and it's so clear, the evidence is there. But that's not the... What fuels them is the idea that we can remove Yiddishkeit. Now you don't need Shabbos and you don't need Pesach, you don't need Kashrus, you don't need anything, it's all over. That's the point always. And that's really what Rashi is saying over here. The rejection of Malchus Beis David is the rejection of Torah. This great joy, the burst of joy with Ritzin and Pekah Ben Ramayo, is the joy of let's eat and be merry and forget about Torah. Yes?
Why are they trying to do it all in the days of Menashe?
Not up to Menashe yet, we're at Ofaz now. Don't confuse me with... Oh.
Why
now? Why now? Number one, I don't know why now. I don't know why now. Oh, and maybe I do know why now. I mean, I can theorize why now. I can theorize why now. No, I can't theorize why now. I mean, how do we know why people... When a spirit of rebellion when a spirit of rebellion comes over, I don't know, there can be so many social, economic, political reasons, but down at the bottom is in one form or another a rejection of Torah. By the way, it's not the only time that it happened. There were many other times in history, right? Particularly that time. Listen, Ochos was not a... What I was going to say when I was thinking of saying something is that Ochos himself was not a tzaddik. And therefore, with Ochos was not such a great tzaddik. So they must probably have another justification. Well, we're supposed to follow Malchus based David. Ochos doch nishkan azah, you know, kimte nishkan after yayne, you understand? Who wanted to... Sorry, Rhoda, did you want to ask anything?
I wanted to check if this was time of
all this, everything is going on at the time of Achaz. And the only point that we emerges from Rashi is that you can take the same psukim and describe another 50 periods in history, including our period. That's the point. So that Nevuah Shehutz L'Kol HaDoros, every prophecy is needed for all generations. It speaks to all generations. It has a message to all generations. Yes. Precedes. Chizkiyo is his son. And the Gemara is going to say about Chizkiyo that when his father Ochos died, he dragged his body through the streets of Yerushalayim. That's what the son did to the father, because the father was a terrible Rasha. And for Chizkiyo at Tzadik to do that, his father had to be a terrible, terrible Rasha, which he was. Okay, further. Va'olah, Rashi says Va'olah means Hanahar, the river, the Rashi on Pasuk Zayin. Va'olah, the Nahar al Kol Afikav Yidgabru Meimav La'alot al Kol Afikay Motzei Meimav. The waters are going to become strong, that they're going to go up above all of the wadis or the sources of the water. In other words, Rashi is learning that Afikim are the sources where the water comes from. The water sources are going to be full, and therefore the water is going to rise and go over all of its banks. Al Gedudov, Hein Siftotav Hazakufot, Bemakom Shahanor Mosheikh, Ben Gidudin Zakufin, Vuhuk Betoch Marzev. He says Gedotav comes from the word Gidudin. Gidudin are like fences. In other words, there are places where the sides, the banks, are not... I think what he wants to let us know is it's not really a bank. Because a bank is something that is on an incline, gradual incline. Exactly. A gedot is something that stands up and the water has to rise and pour over it. That's al gedudot hein siftotav, the lips, hazakufot, that stand up straight. B'makom shahanohar moshech, where the river is drawn, bein gedudin zakufim, between sides that are standing up, v'hu kebetoch marzev, it is, as long as Rashi's description is, you know what a marzev is? You don't remember what a marzev is. What did we have on our houses when the rain came down? What was it? The gutters? The gutter. What's the gutter? The gutter is something like this, right? And the water flows through the gutter and out, right? So he says, Gedotav means a riverbed that is like a marzev. That's a marzev. And therefore the water has to rise so that it go over. It's not a riverbank like this that is on an incline. And by the way, in the Negev, you see a lot of places, many of the wadis are like that. It's Gedudin, sides that are zakufin, that stand up. He's great. Mecholaf b'Yehuda. And he will go through Yehuda. So Rashi explains that. What do you mean he's going to go through Yehuda? Be'eretz Yehuda. Shataf, it's going to flow. It's going to gush. Bechozka, with great strength. Ad Tzavor, it's going to come to the neck. What does the neck represent? Ad Iker Chozek Tzavoram, until the strength of the neck. V'tirgim Yonatan, and Yonatan says, Ad Yerushalayim Yamti, it's going to reach to Yerushalayim. And Mutaut Knafav, the ends of his wings, Perek Koton Shebesof Hakanaf Karoi Mutar. There's a little thing at the end of a wing. By the way, I think planes also have, don't they have the end of the wing is sort of a little something like this? This is Mutaut Knafav. the very ends are going to be across the width of Eretz Yisrael. V'da'iti b'tankuma, this is on the next page already, like you have to turn over somehow or other. V'da'iti b'tankuma, I saw in Targum, in Medrash, Tankuma, kamahen motos kanfei hatarnagol echad min shishim b'uchlusei samkerev. Sort of the Medrash says that 1/60th of the hordes, the hosts of Sancherev, that's the Knafarim that sort of invaded and held the very ends of Eretz Yisrael. Melo rochav Eretz Yehuda, and the wings go across the width of the land of Yehuda. Immanuel who shaved Yehuda, because it said it's going to be along the width of your land. Immanuel, who is Immanuel? Who shaved Yehuda? That's a tribe of Yehuda. Shevtichar Kodesh Baruch Hu Lios Imon Dimei Chizkiyo, because God promised to be with them in the days of Chizkiyo. Kedivrei Hanevi'ah. Here you have it. Like the words of the prophetess Shekora Shein Bino Immanuel. Here he says it openly that she called the name of the son Immanuel. How do I forget it? The cup is outside. Like, you know, the cup is. Sometimes it doesn't function too well. So yes, Maher Sholol Chashbaz is the name given by Chizkiyahu, Immanuel, by Yishayahu. Good. And Immanuel is the name that his wife gives the child. By the way, though there was a difference of opinion, I don't know, she must have called him Manny, and he must have called him Chashi or Buzzy, I don't know. There was no machlekes between the two of them, because here, in fact, Elu, Fe'elu, Divrei, Elokim, Chaim. These and those are the prophecies of a living God. Further, Ro'u Amim. Ro'u Amim V'chotu. V'ha'azinu Kol Mer Chakeretz. Ro'u Amim. Here there's a difference of opinion between the Metsudot and and Rashi. The Mitzudas learns the word Rohu means to be crushed. Rohu Amin, the nations will be crushed. Vachotu, and they will be broken. Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns Rohu Amin, Pasuk Ted, Rohu Amin, Loshen Re'ehu, Re'acho Ketirgim Yonatan, Itchabaru. That the word Ro'ah comes from the word Re'a, a friend.
The gang up
together. God says, sort of, he throws out a challenge. Ro'u Amim. Okay, nations, be friends, gather together, you know, the more we have together, the more we can break them all at one time. Rashi says, Ro'u Amim, Lashon Re'ehu and Re'achok Ketirgim Yonatan, as Jonathan says, Itchaboru. Join, become joined. Mechubar, become joined together. Hitchabru yachad uchlusayson tzankerev. The hosts, the large number of people who've come with tzankerev, let them join together. Vachotu, and you know what's going to happen to you? The bigger they are, the more are going to fall. V'tishabedu, and you will be broken. Hitazru vachotu. Hitazru, gird yourselves. Bechol minei givura. Use everything that is going to express your great strength. V'sofchem, the end is going to be l'hiyot chatim. You will be broken. You will be crushed. Hit'azru v'chotu. Hit'azru v'chotu. Utsu eitzah v'tufar. And Rashi, very interesting. Very interesting. Rashi says, utsu l'shon tzivui, command. I think that we would normally have translated Utsu Eitza, they will come up with all sorts of plans against the Jewish people, but they will be crushed, destroyed. No, it seems that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is challenging them. Okay, guys, Utsu Eitza, go ahead, come up with all of your plans. Have all of your meetings, have all of your summits. Come up with all sorts of ways to destroy the Jewish people, and I'll show you the too far. Davru davar. And by the way, Rash, have all of your talks. And by the way, most probably it's the davru davar that convinces Rashi that the utsu eitzah is lashon tzivui, because davru davar is clearly tzivui. So the utu etza is a tzivui, a command. Go ahead, do it. Do it.
Ki imanu keu. It certainly is. It certainly is. That's why I think that one of the great accomplishments of the last 30 years is, you know, there's still people who are looking for new psukim to come up with to make a song to, you know, and that I think Mazzoni, by another 500 years there'll be a song for every pasuk in Tanakh, and well, that's how Jews are going to learn Tanakh. Once they learn Tanakh by learning Gemara, today they learn Tanakh from the jacket of a cassette.
There's already a new method, but
they teach the children in the Kita Aleph. That's the way to do it. Chamishachum Shei Torah, yeah, but never. I'm sure that there are psukim that people would never have known if not for the fact that Karl Bach or somebody else or Mordechai Ben David made a song to it. But you do have to be careful about one thing. Some of the songs leave out words. They leave out, they do parts of psukim and leave out words, and you begin to think that this is the pasuk when it really isn't the pasuk. So in other words, some of these songs can be dangerous to your knowledge of Tanakh. One of the classics is Kol Berama Nishma. Kol Berama Nishma, the words Nehi, Bechi, Tamurim, a whole bunch of words simply disappear from the pasuk. There's a song called Ela Berecha Ve'ela Basusim. I think there are a few words that are missing, that they simply disappear. So that's a problem. It is. In other words, this, the end of the Nevuah, tells us the significance of the name. That's why the name was given. Now you finally know why the name was given.
Who's saying?
God is saying. God is challenging them. Yes, so in other words, what's understood over here is that this is the prophecy to us. In other words, we're being told Utsu Eitzu Eitzu. They will make counsel and make decisions. And we're going to be saying, no, by the way, very often you will find in a pasuk, and I'll try and point it out to you, where in a pasuk you move from what the Navi is saying to what God is saying to what the people are saying. It's all acceptable. It's all acceptable. Watch. All right, come on, let's hop behind a few more psukim, because we're going to see a number of things that where the ideas become clearer. Kikor Hashem Elai B'chezkat Hayad, so says God to me, with the strength of a hand, v'yisreini, and he has warned me, milechet b'derech ha'am hazeh leimor, and he has warned me from going in the way of this people, so saying. What has God said to me, and I'm telling it to you, to the Jewish people, lo tomrun kesha, don't say there is a plot or a conspiracy, l'chol asher yomar ha'am hazeh kesha, to whatever the people will say is a conspiracy. That moro'o lo tiru, don't be afraid, v'lo taritzu, and do not be broken. Rashi. V'cheskat hayad, v'yidgaber hanevua alai, when the prophecy became strong upon me. In other words, the Navi feels that there's a certain intensity to the prophecy that he's now receiving. Kishahusif l'daber alai b'davar hazeh, when he continued speaking to me about this, k'mosha katub l'mala, earlier in the parak it said, v'yos Hashem daber alai, Ubeloshim ze Omar, the Yecheskel also said, V'yad Hashem olai chazaka. And there it also means l'shon nevuah. The hand of God upon me doesn't mean the hand of God. It means the hand of his prophecy. It describes the prophecy. The Yisreini, he has warned me from going in the way of this people. His Hirani, he has warned me, shalol lihiyot batzad shevna ha-sofer. Again, he has warned me not to be part of the council of Shevna Sofa, those who want to rebel against the house of David and give Yerushalayim to the enemy. V'siyato and his group, Shenikshiru Limrod al Chizkiyo, who gathered together a conspiracy to rebel against Chizkiyo, Kamoshe Mefurash, as is explained in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And we learned the Gemara in Sanhedrin a few weeks ago. Yeshidemez b'sefer hazeh, and there is a remez in this sefer later on, Leir Bo El Hasochein. Those were the psukim that were brought in the Gemara that God says, this fellow who's in charge of the house, Malachapo, Milachapo, what are you doing here? What kind of balabas do you think you are? Kichatzafta lachokever, you have dug a grave, you think you're going to be buried here? You're going to be Kadur El Eretz Rachvat Yadayim, you're going to be a ball that's going to be rolling over rolling green hills and whispering brooks and hills and dales. V'yisreini, kemo uli yasreini. V'yisreini, and God has warned me. Lo tomrun keshe. This is the passage that the Gemara brought. Atem siyato shel Chizkia, you who are part of the group with Chizkio, afal pi shehen mu'otin mi siyat shevna, even though they are smaller in number, they are the minority. Lo tomru, don't say, acharei rabim lahatot. We don't always say, follow the majority. I mean, of course, the classic example is, since the majority of people in the world are either Muslims or Christians, or acharei rabim lahatot. No, no, no. Doesn't mean, you know what? The majority can make a mistake. There are, of course, rare moments in history where the majority doesn't make a mistake, like now. 52% of the people are not making a mistake. And not making a mistake. Okay. You need, you know, somebody learns Novi to tell you that. No problem. L'chol asher yomar ha'amazeh she'im shevna. Don't be concerned about that group who follows Shevna. L'fishu keshet ishoim. It is a conspiracy of the evil. Ve'eino min haminyan. And that doesn't count. V'chein. Don't also be concerned about the treaty or the conspiracy that's going to be entered into between the 10 tribes with the king of Egypt. There's going to be another time at which they're going to want to come against Yehuda. Don't be concerned. Listen, Harashi, this mamish fits in very well with what we said yesterday in the Parsha Shir. Ved Mora'o, he says, don't be concerned about the fear that they're trying to instill in you. What is it that Shevna and his group use? If you stick with Chizkiyahu, there's going to be destruction over here. You understand? They say, Shehem omnim lachem, they say to you, Lirom Sancherev ulashlimimo. They tell you, be afraid of Sancherev and make peace with him. You've got to make peace, because if you're not going to make peace, there's going to be war over here. And is that? It's the scare tactics. That's what we said yesterday. When Paro tells Moshe, Ru'u ki ro neged penechem, take a look, there is evil coming against you. He is the first one to establish the idea of fear tactics. If you vote for this guy, you know what you're going to bring down over here? What are you talking about? There's going to be a churban over here. There'll be war. There'll be terrible, terrible war. This is what Shevna and his group in Yerushalayim were saying. That we take a look at what's going to happen. The whole Middle East is against us. Sancherev is coming here to destroy the city. Let's make peace with him. So the Navi test says, in the name of God, don't pay attention to it. Don't fall for the scare tactics. Loti ru velota aditzu, lotomru chazaku. Don't be afraid, and lota aditzu, don't say that he's so strong. Don't talk yourself into it that he's so strong. Kain tirgem Yonason, that's how Yonason says. Lotemrun tkof, don't say that he's so strong. Take it easy. Don't fall prey to all of these terror and fear tactics. Not to panic, because in Pasuk Yud Gimel, here is the truth. Et Hashem Tzvakot Oto Takvishu V'hu Morachem V'hu Maritzchem. Do you know whom you should make holy? You should make holy the God of hosts. He is the one whom you should fear. V'hu Maritzchem. He is the one that gives you strength, Rashi says. Machazikchem. Let's see if we can make one pasuk. Alright, we're going to do it fast. V'hoya l'migdash. God will be l'migdash. Says Rashi, Ota eitzah shi'atz shevna, v'shi'atz pekach, l'hashbit malchut beit David, יהיה לסימן פורענות לבוא עליהם. The advice of Shevna and the council of Pekah to destroy the kingdom of the house of David is an indication of suffering that's going to come. L'migdash Rashi learns kamo hitkachu l'macha. The word migdash can also mean hitkachu, prepare yourself for what's going to happen. Prepare yourself. Terrible things are going to happen. Ule Eben Negev, Ule Tzur Michol, Lishnei Batei Yisrael, Lefach Ule Mokesh, Lioshev Yerushalayim, says Rashi, Ule Eben Negev, a stone that you trip over, Shaharaglayim Nigafim Bam, that the feet sort of, you know, bang against it, Lishon Michol, stumbling block, come over, Terem Yitnakfurak Lechem, before Yirmiel says, be careful, before your feet are going to start getting, good word.
Trip,
okay. Pentikov by Evan Raglech. It doesn't necessarily mean trip and fall, but that you go into the rock. Ulitzur Michol Loshin Evan Negev Shahatzur Hu Evan. A tzur is an Evan, it's the same thing. Lishnei Bate Israel Shebo Liot Lepach Ulmokesh Lioshev Yerushalayim Umihen Shnei Habatim Pekah Ben Rebeyo Visiyato Vishev Nisayato. Who are the ones that are the stumbling block? You know who the Eben Negev and the Tzur Michol is? They are Pekah ben Ramayo and Shevna. Shevna has made a deal with them, and the two of them want to bring down the house of David, and they want to give Yerushalayim to the enemy. Don't let that happen. We're going to one more pasuk and then we'll finish it. The Choshlu Bam Rabin, many are going to stumble. The Noflu, they will fall. The Nishbor won't be broken. The Nokshu, they will be trapped. The Nukodu, they will be caught. Says Rashi, the Choshlu Bam Rabin, the Otan Havonim Yikoshlu, Elu, Visiatom Shneem Yiblu Biyad Sarneem. Do you know who's really going to stumble and fall? The stumbling blocks are going to stumble. Those two. Pekah Ben Ramayo, Rashi says. Both of them are going to fall into the hands of the enemy. Pekach Nedag, Shahargo Hoshea, Hoshea killed Pekach. V'yud Hashvatim Naflu Biyat Sancherem, and the 10 tribes fell into the hand of Sancherem. The Shevna Yotzum Yerushalayim, this was also in the Gemara. Shevna went out of the city of Yerushalayim, Kishola Sancherem Meoleo, Leilech Altir, Hoka Melech Kush, Shotav, Shevna Visiyoto, V'holachlo. Shevna joins with Sancherem, and the end is that he is killed by Sancherem. And because he wanted to give Yerushalayim over to the enemy, because he wanted to remove the power of Malchus Beis David. Okay.